Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
So Anthony Davis made a statement last night against the Timberwolves. AD led the Lakers to a 142-125 win and dropped a season-high 50 points along the way. Davis is also doing it on the defensive end with 7 blocks in his last 3 games, averaging just under 3 a game on the season. So Shannon, is Anthony Davis making a case for MVP and Defensive Player of the Year?
He's making a strong case, and nobody's ever done that. Michael Jordan is the only guy to do it. I think it was 1988. He won the Defensive Player of the Year and the MVP in that season. Skip, 28 points, 9 rebounds, almost like 2.8, 2.7 blocks a game. Team has the best record in the NBA, and he's been doing it because he can do it all, Skip. He can post you up. He got a mid-range game. He got outside the three. Now he's 10 for 10 from the free throw line. He's challenging all things that come into the painted area. Skip, he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. And then he gave old Carl Anthony Towns, cat they call him. Gave him the Mickey D special. A 50 piece with extra sauces and no napkins. Made a mess of it.
No napkins.
No napkins. Made a mess of it.
You gotta give the man a napkin.
Extra sauce.
It was
give
not
him
good.
A couple of napkins.
No.
Spilling all over him.
So
you
messy.
Told me that Carl Anthony, he was different. You told me Carl, he's different now. He wanted to fight everybody. He's shoving Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Well, he's trying.
One can hope.
Yeah.
AD said, hold his 50 piece for me. Skip, this is unbelievable. And just the other night, he had a 39-point outing. He's just been doing it all. He's everything that the Lakers thought they would be. Skip, this is why you move heaven and earth to get a guy like this. Brandon Ingrams and the Lonzo Balls, they come along every single draft. This guy is a generational talent. These guys don't come along. He's a legitimate 30-10 guy. Legit. Don't be surprised if he's somewhere around that. And then you see old Goat James. Skip, I don't like to show footage. But I got to show you this body.
Really?
LBJ caught another body.
He caught
another body in year 17. They call him the body snatcher.
Yep.
Look at this, right, Skip. Caught another one. Caught another. You skip what he did? You see what he did? Now, Gorgie Jang. He knows when LeBron turns his head, he's normally going to pull up with that three. So what did LeBron do? Turn his head, put that ball on the floor, and here he comes. Dropped him off on the 17th floor.
I thought he dunked with his left hand, but
it was a right.
He had such a lead that he just said, I'll just use my right hand. Because, again, that could have gotten blocked. But
he got on the elevator with LeBron. LeBron said, what floor are you going to? He said 17th. LeBron said, that's fine. I'm going to the penthouse.
Really?
Wow. Bam!
Really?
Dropped him off on the 17th and kept elevating.
Really?
Out of there. This is about AD. It's not about LeBron. Because LeBron, Skip, do you see those threes? He was 6 of 8. He had a couple from Alcatraz.
Two from hot hand.
Skip, did you see that one that came out of there, the shot clock riding down, about 34 feet out? Somebody in heap of trouble. I'm going to get my 5 cases because they're going to win 56 games.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to get the 5. I let you buy it right now for 3.5 cases.
No.
Okay, you go with it.
Hanging right in there.
You go hang right in there.
Why would you even offer?
AD, Skip, he's in the MVP discussion.
Is he?
But Giannis is going to be hard to dethrone because he doesn't have another superstar.
He's the guy.
And they're going to win probably 60 games, Skip, and he's 30-12, 30-13. But AD has been phenomenal.
I will give you this. Right now, my eye test tells me that Anthony Davis is the best player on this planet, only because Kevin Durant is in Achilles rehab. That's the only reason he is. But right now, he is playing at the level of the best player on the planet because it's both ways. Complete. He's offensive MVP and he's defensive MVP all rolled into one. And I keep hearing people say that LeBron is the MVP, and I'm like, I don't know. This guy looks like he's making this.
I mean, man, you're looking at Skip because he was washed. So any guy that's giving you 26, 11, and 7, you got to have that in consideration in year 17, correct?
Yeah, but if you want to really look hard at what happened in this game and only this game, would you believe that the Minnesota Timberwolves were actually up 3 points when this happened? But it was 2:27 left in the first half. Mm. And LeBron, who is really trying hard on defense, he decided Robert Covington was taking it to the hole, so he said, I am going to take the charge. And there it is, and he steps in, and the ref in question was one Natalie Sago, and she said, took a look at it and said, nope, block. She puts her hands on her hips, block. And guess what? That was LeBron's fourth foul.
Third.
220, huh?
Third. That was the third of the first half.
No, but it was his fourth foul. Fourth.
Was it?
Yep. I mean, that sent him to the bench.
That's why he left.
Yeah, that's why he left.
Okay.
But not only did LeBron walk up court and saying some things that I can't repeat, but he just kept on going, and he went all the way to the locker room.
Yeah.
He just kept walking right past the bench and went all the way to the locker room.
Right.
And I thought that was one shrewd operator's way of showing up that referee without getting a technical foul.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll just take it to the house. I'm going all the way to the locker room. I've never seen that before.
Skip, he wasn't
2:27 left.
Skip.
I'm not going to sit on the bench.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think Frank Vogel was going to put him back in at any point in time in the first half?
But it would be nice if you sat with your teammates the rest of the way, because most teammates would just say, well, I'll just go take my seat on the bench.
No.
That's just how you do it. You hang with your guy.
You know why he did that?
Yeah.
Because he said, AD, I'm gone. I want you to do your thing.
Oh, well, he did.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
He might have just been so upset. He was trying to not make a scene, maybe.
Maybe.
But it didn't bug me as much as you. Now you brought it up. It does a little bit.
It's not a good look.
It is a great look.
It's grandstanding. It's showboating.
It is
hot dogging. You know it, and I know it. It is. It's vintage LeBron. But they're down three at that point, and all of a sudden, AD says, hey, I got this. Feed the beast. And he scored 6 points out of an 11-0 run. They go on an 11-0 run to end the half, and all of a sudden they go to halftime up 8, down 3 to up 8 without the king on the floor. And that kind of looked washed to me, because he just washed right out of the game, right? He just went to the locker room. I don't know what I was thinking. Was he hurt? But he was walking just fine, and he came back and had a big second half.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't think he was hurt. Do you need to call home? Do you need to order post-game? I don't know.
And you see what we did to Portland, right?
Huh?
After what we did to Utah, right?
Yeah.
You saw that, right?
I saw what the team is doing.
No, now it's the team. Hold on. Last year, you said there were 5 or 6 games that LeBron, if you're that guy, you got to close these games. Now it's the team.
Well, they're not playing close games. They're scoring like 170 a game. I've never seen anything like it.
All right.
Wasn't it the most they've scored on the road since Showtime, since 1988?
Probably.
It was. It was the most they've scored on
the 136 road. They gave up. And we called the dogs off. We called the dogs off because we felt sorry because that was Melo. Because Melo, I got.
Yeah.
But if it had been just Dame and CJ, we'd have put 150 on them, put a $150 on them.
Well, you put a number on them.
Hey, we see we did Jenny's team last night.
Yeah.
We put a 42.
Big number.
Yeah. We got plenty more where that come
from. But in trouble before LeBron marched all the way to the locker room, and 11-0 happened, and all of a sudden up 8 happened at half, and it was over.
It went over.
Yep.
It went over.
No, it was way over.
Guess what? Because we got up by 19, and they cut it all the way back down to like 8 or 9.
Yeah,
And then LeBron said,
it was scary.
And then LeBron to AD said,
Yeah.
Bron, look, the AD said, let's do this.
Let's
This two-man game. Yeah. Skip, that thing vicious.
Yeah.
Now, the Clippers going to have to see us on Christmas.
I agree. If there was a pre-Christmas championship, the Lakers would win it.
No.
But there's not.
Help me understand this. Now, Giannis, on Friday night, the Bucks played the Clippers. I need to know why Paul George, nor Kawhi, or Pat Bev guarded Giannis. Mm. They gave that to Harkless. Mm. I just need to know why. Mm. You took a 46, you got trounced. You took a 46-point beatdown.
Are they
low managing? Mm. So nobody wanted them. Mm. We got two of the best wing players of all time. Mm-hmm. Doc said we can lock it down. Mm. Nobody wanted Giannis?
All about May and June. That's Mm-mm. what they are building toward. Mm-mm. LeBron is wearing himself out before Christmas.
LeBron, fine.
5 minutes.
LeBron,
five
fine. Minutes. Your guy got bulky Ooh. Knees. That's why he got to wear those orthopedics.
Really? Okay.
That's what's wrong with your guy. Mm. Your guy can't practice, can't play back-to-backs, and he looked terrible. Mm. You saw that.
Boy, I like the Clippers in May and June.
I like the Lakers anytime.
Yeah.
Because when you that guy, May, June, December, October, March, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because when the Clippers snap their fingers, then they go score 150.
They can't.
Yeah.
Against the Wizards, a team that LeBron played like 20 minutes, 25 minutes against and had 125? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
150,
okay.
Really.
Oh,
yeah.
We got a buck 42 on the Timberwolves.
Ooh. That's impressive.
Oh, we got something for the Bucks. We got the Bucks next week from Thursday.
Yep.
Yeah, we got something for them, too.
Okay. What you got for them?
You want something, dude? We can do this right
Ready?
Now.
You
want to
do it?
I won due from you last year on the Bucks. I took the Bucks at
yeah, but
Staples.
We, yeah, but
remember
see,
that
man,
on
yeah,
Friday
we,
night?
Yeah, yeah, we had them whippersnappers. We had them whippersnappers. Now you got to do something with AD. You can't just load up on Bron. And we got Caruso.
Yeah, he's
balling.
He had 16.
So you're really taking credit for Caruso.
Caruso balling.
AC, they call him.
Yeah.
They
AC.
Love him. They
oh,
seem to love
bound.
The guy.
Woo. Hey, Danny Green.
You know what? He might be the best athlete on the team.
And you see Danny Green letting them threes go?
Oh,
Danny Green. You talking about they go, they come. They go, they come.
Yeah.
All I know, they coming right now.
They're coming?
Yeah.
And they go when you least expect
there you go.
It, when you
skip,
most need
skip,
them.
Skip.
Danny.
Skip. Stop that. Why you always
I know, because I've watched him a lot more than you.
Why are you wishing bad, Miles? On my team. I don't wish ill on the Spurs. They terrible. I don't wish bad mouth on your team.
I mean, Jared Dudley got in the game last night.
Oh.
Wow. That means
yes,
it's a route.
Yeah, 51.
Man, he only had 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
AD's fourth 50-point game of his career.
Whew.
He said he didn't know he had 50. The guys kept telling him, go get 50.
I had 27 at that. Skip, was that not the...
With
I
a
mean,
lot of confidence.
That's what you call efficient. 20 or 29?
Mm-hmm.
Had 27.
Woo! Big game. I don't
hard
know
for the Wolves, but what are you going
to
do?
It's hard to understand how he was 30 games under 500 in New Orleans, but he was.
He was doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It was just, hey, he was just, hey, it's just a different venue.
Really?
Broadway. Skip, I mean, don't think they're not great actors.
Mm.
That's off Broadway.
Mm.
They're just not on Broadway.
Really?
But just when they get their time to shine.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Yeah!
When they get the big stage.
Yeah!
They show up. Well, we're seeing it from them.
Like Misty Copeland.
It is interesting.
She got a church. She been Misty Copeland.
You know
who had the black ballerina skin
piece of
face on?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's
but
awesome.
She got a break.
I know.
And now what? It's oh, she could do that. She could been do that. She just wasn't given the opportunity. Got the opportunity. AD been doing this in New Orleans. But now.
It wasn't rubbing off on her.
But now.
I don't know.
Skip, there's a difference between Canal Street and the Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between those two, bro.
Yeah.
There is.
Okay, so that's where he is now. He in Bel Air. Me and him neighbors.
It's a long ways to even Christmas yet. We still got, 3 weeks?
Yeah. Right? It's going to come fast.
It's a long time.
It's going to come fast.
But it's a short time to get there. We got something for you.
No mercy.
The Cowboys jumped out to early first quarter leads in their last two games against the Bills and Bears, but the offense lost steam each time, resulting in losses for Dallas. When asked why the offense couldn't keep the momentum going, Dak Prescott was at a loss for answer, saying that he couldn't put a finger on it. Orlando Scandrick still with us. So, Orlando, can you put a finger on what is wrong with the Cowboys?
There's no consistency.
Yeah.
I think they need to establish that run game. I think that they need to go up two scores. I mean, I think we need some – just play solid defense. I'm not asking them to be the 85 Bears.
Yep.
Get some turnovers.
They got two?
They did.
They got two
Thursday night. That was a start.
What you got to do with them?
We need to get some early turnovers, get some momentum. Just play decent special teams. I'm not asking them to win the game, but just don't miss the kicks. And I feel good about it now that my heart is out of there. I think that we got some fresh blood.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't easy.
Just get back to what the team was built. Big offensive line, dominant running back, you know, complimentary quarterback that can make all the throws.
Complimentary.
Yeah, but he's a winner.
Complimentary.
Born leader, born winner.
You know, there's some restaurants you go to and you order breakfast, you get a complimentary cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Go to Starbucks and try to get a complimentary cup of coffee.
But Dak is,
yeah, I know what I'm talking about.
Dak is kind of like, he like when you catch that Emirates flight and you get complimentary dates, complimentary.
But you got to pay for that, right?
No, it's complimentary.
No, yeah, but you don't pay $40,000 for a first-class ticket. Yeah. I better get everything complimentary.
They're going to pay $40 million for a first-class quarterback. It's complimentary win.
Good point.
See, that's the biggest mistake people make, Jenny. People think because if I pay a guy X amount of dollars, it's going to make him good. Wrong, but that's neither here nor there.
We're talking about, it's no price on winning.
What y'all do so but
it's
let
only
me know.
It's only a matter of time before yeah, the big ones come.
I ain't got that kind of time. I'm looking at my life. I look at my life the other day. I was looking in the mirror. I said, I probably got about 30 summers left. I got about 30 summers left in me if I'm good. So y'all talking about all this time you want to. I count mine in summers. I got about 30 left, Jenny. I got 30 summers left.
That investment, that investment has paid off already.
Okay.
It's already paid off. It's like when you make that buy that stock. And but
I will give you this. It's the inconsistency. Because one week you get the Cowboys offense and they're playing exceptionally well. They're moving the ball. And then the defense can't get a stop. And then you get games like New England. You get games like New Orleans where they hold them to, 13? They hold them to 12. And we can't generate anything offensively. Special teams have been terrible all year. With the exception of games that you're blowing people out and Maher can trot on the field where there's no pressure and bang 60-plus yard field goals.
But Maher, he gone.
And see, that's the thing. But when you look at them special teams, you don't see a team like, when you think of special teams, you think of the Rams. You think of Coach Belichick and the Patriots.
Fair.
They're going to block a punt. They might fake punt you. They might get something special out of it. When you think of Dallas, okay, they're going to punt the ball. Okay, they're going to fair catch the punt. They're going to, you know, kick off and you'll get the ball at 25, even if they bring it out of the end zone. So when I look at them, I don't look at that phase as something that's being complimentary to their offense or to their defense.
It's 100%. When you're going and you're going to make a game 10-3,
yeah,
and you get a field goal block, and then you go down and give up a touchdown, and now you're down 10-7.
Right.
That's huge.
Right.
Huge.
Oh, you know that.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but that's my point. I'm saying when I look at them, I don't look at them complimentary. They are not complimentary pieces. Your special team, that's what it should be. But it's not because they give you nothing.
When
they,
I played, we kind of called it we-fence. We was the last play of offense,
right?
Yep. But the first play of defense. I mean, it's when you leaving points on the field and then, I don't know, that was baffling to me.
And I still believe that they need to get Zeke going. And Skip, he gets going. If he gets stopped twice, you can't say we can't run the ball because that's what they do. They run Zeke, get going good, and then all of a sudden he might, the first down they give it to him, he gets nothing. Next time he gets the ball, he gets nothing. They're like, oh, we can't run the ball. I
mean, and then they look up and they're down.
Right.
So when you're in a hole, you're forced. And then it's like when you, a bunch of third and longs, you know, to Dak's defense, and I killed Dak for the first half he had. But to his defense, I mean, it's hard. Third and, they don't got a lot of plays. You're not looking on that play sheet and saying third and 10.
You
it's
only
not
got,
a lot of third
you only
and
got about third and 10 and long. That's what you consider third and long. They only got about three or four plays on there. Huh. And after you pick up two of them, on first, you get two first downs on those, you're like, okay, now where do we go?
All I know about Ezekiel Elliott, he finally broke one the other night.
Broke it.
Longest run of the year. What was it?
31.
Yeah.
And then they give it to him again, and he gets four, and they give it to him again, and he gets two, and he looks to the sideline, and he waves out. Well, I mean, I'm gassed.
They line up in double tight. They got one guy that's Shannon, your age. He ain't getting no push. They got another guy that's a pass catcher.
Compared you to Jason Witten.
Yeah, I'm 51 and been retired for 50 years. Jason Witten is still playing.
They got another pass catcher. I think just innovation. Let's get some creativity. Let's, you know, put some RPOs in there, some quarterback runs. You know, let's do something a little different. Let's try something a little different. We tried it this way.
So what happened in the one Dallas Cowboys signature win of this year at Jerry World on a Sunday night?
That was signature win?
Dougie P came out and guaranteed victory.
He guaranteed.
You was on that team.
I was. It was difficult. They did whatever they wanted that night. It was kind of like when you go trick-or-treating and you just pick in there.
Why did you let that happen?
I mean, I didn't do my part. You're right.
Okay,
but the game plan was
a bit what happened early on? Dallas Goedert caught a ball over the middle, and Jalen Smith laid the wood on him, and he coughed it. He coughed it right up on the carpet, Dallas's ball.
Yep.
Next series, what happened? Oh, bounce it to him, Wentz. He's in the pocket, and here comes DeMarcus Lawrence laying down the law. D-Law laying down
the
law.
That's the only time you said he was D-Law.
Sack, fumble.
Okay.
Boom, boom, and touchdown,
I think
touchdown,
that in the back of Philadelphia's mind, that's there. And I think the way that Dallas has built football is about matchups. I don't care what you did before that. That's how you look at teams like the Dolphins and they beat the Eagles, you know. you match up better, and I think Dallas matches up better against Philly. Mm. I think you're gonna be disappointed.
Y'all healthier. That's the only reason you match up.
I don't want no Black and Miles.
Yeah, we got it. Done. Bet.
So what was the mood on the team playing going home that night?
I think Philadelphia, I don't think they ever waver. I don't think they ever doubt themselves. They won a Super Bowl. That's the top of the top. And I think they lean on that in the back of their mind. And I think it's a gift and a curse. So I expect them to play hard. I expect them to go up to Washington this week and struggle. They'll probably win. They'll struggle. And then, on to the big showdown. And I think they'll put this big thing around it about how it's Dallas. We hate them. Dallas week, this, that. And I think Zeke will get rolling. And you know, Coop love playing against the Eagles.
Yeah.
He love him some Ronald Darby.
I
love him some Jalen Mills.
Yeah, they're not very good.
Oh, that's what you got.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what we got.
You wavering?
No.
He sound like he eating out of both sides of his
mouth. But here's the thing.
He was just flying.
But still, you still got to put your defense on the field. Your defense is trash.
Boston got Scott.
Your defense is trash.
But it's a great matchup.
Mitchell Trubisky is about to get a contract extension.
He is.
I guess y'all. Thank you.
Mitch had a good game. It was lightning in a bottle.
Hey, no lightning in no bottle.
It was definitely.
Why everybody keep catching lightning in the bottle against y'all?
I don't know.
Josh Allen caught lightning in the bottle.
We still waiting for Carson Wentz to catch lightning in the bottle. He haven't caught lightning in the bottle since 2017.
Oh, yeah. So he had it, right?
2017. 33-7. What year is this?
33-7.
About to be 2020.
How many touchdowns that? You think that going to throw for 33 touchdowns this year?
No.
I didn't think so.
I think
my guy's already done that.
Joe guy going to make the playoffs?
With three guys, yep.
Early vacation?
Courtesy of you guys.
No way.
Make
that three. Three bottles of
yak. Courtesy of you
three
guys.
Three bottles of yak.
Oh, you talking big now. We all banged up. We got three. We finished that game. You saw how we finished it. With three tight ends and an undrafted transfer quarterback.
And if you think that y'all going to beat Dallas with three tight ends and a Houston quarterback,
dead it.
You think so? Or Nelson Aguilar be back?
No. Man, I don't want him.
And you talk about that defense, that Eagles defense, the same Eagles defense.
They're terrible.
That gave up 30?
They're terrible.
To the Dolphins?
They're terrible.
You seem to be losing heart.
They're terrible. Skip, I mean, look, I'm fighting a great fight. The offense, they're going to Dougie P going to fire things. But I need Jim Schwartz to give me something on defense. I need Fletcher Cox. I need to see more Fletcher Cox. I need to see more Barnett. I need to see more Graham. I need to see more.
Okay, I'll match you with that. I need to see more of DeMarcus Lawrence and Robert Quinn and Michael Bennett.
You will.
I
because
got
if,
to.
If Lane Johnson is injured and you're going against Vitar or whatever his name is, you see the way the way they did Big
B. They went right around him.
Come on.
He's better served at a guard because there's not a whole lot of space in there. But when you got those wide, they'll get no wide nines. And they can and see Robert Quinn can dip, D-Law can dip. It ain't going to be looking good.
Wentz going to bounce a couple to him.
You know, old bounce it, old donk it, Dak. You know, old donk it, Dak.
But I listened to you say that Dak would be one of your favorite players if it wasn't for Skip.
Yeah.
There's a level of that. We've heard it before.
It's love.
When he has a good game, you give him the credit.
I give him credit when he has a good game. But what I will do is that I'll give him a bad grade. I give him what he earned. If he earns an F, he gets an F. If he earns an A, he gets an A.
Can he get them last four victories that he earned?
One.
When?
He did.
When last that match? Look at him.
Can he get them last four victories?
When? What victories?
The last four against the Eagles.
Look at
Can we talk about his record versus the Eagles?
We update your resume. We got
update
that
resume. Is his resume.
No, resume. What have he done last 3 weeks? Give me his last 3 weeks for that.
He had some rough games the last
week. No.
But the Eagles will bail him out.
Okay.
Those injuries, they'll bring back his
confidence. Well, they've been bailing us out all year. Okay. Miami, thank you.
Yeah, Miami. Because you know you're supposed to be in last place. You're supposed to be in second right now. Because we supposed to have won that game.
I will give you that, but we're in
first. Not giving them that.
You guys take care of
they traditionally do that. That's what the Eagles do. Build up to fall down.
Guess what the Cowboys do? They win the first three
NFC
games.
NFC East titles, host playoff games,
and catch an L.
And then
host playoff games.
You were on that team with Green Bay, right?
Which one? When we caught it?
Yeah.
And the refs didn't do their job?
I know.
What they get paid to do?
Now the refs didn't do their job.
We don't have enough time.
They changed the rule.
Now the refs didn't do their job.
They changed the rule. No mercy.
On Sunday, Lamar Jackson joined Michael Vick as the only two quarterbacks in NFL history to rush for 1,000 yards in a season. And with three games left, Lamar is only 22 yards behind Vick's single-season record. The two quarterbacks have done it in different ways, though, with the majority of Lamar's yards coming from design runs, while most of Vick's yards were on scrambles. So, Shannon, who is better, Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick?
Well, at this stage, you'd have to say Lamar. Lamar is a better thrower of the football. Mike was a guy that after his first read wasn't there, he would dart, hence most of his yards coming on scramble skip. And Lamar is like going through his progressions, and you can see it. I think a lot of it has to do that he can see some of the things that Michael did well. He can build on some of the things that Michael didn't do well. He can get coached up on. But also, Skip, I think the thing is now is that what the NFL have done is that Michael Vick, Dan Reeves was his head coach. Dan Reeves was my first head coach. Mm-hmm. They really didn't know what they had with Mike. Mike was ahead of his time. Mm-hmm. Because if you had Michael Vick now with these coaches that have gone and studied college tape,
yep,
and how to use these guys and how to call plays that run the quarterback, not just, okay, quarterback draw and just take off. No, they got elaborate design schemes, mm-hmm, that can get Lamar Jackson on the edge. Mm. Mike didn't have that. Basically, Mike was like a quarterback draw or a sweep skip where they rolled Warwick Dunn and everybody that side, and Vic follows him. You look at the way Greg Roman is calling this thing, you're like, wow, I've seen that before. Mm-hmm. So both are, you know, they're really the only similarities really, I look at them like Black and they can, you know, run, yes, 1,000 yards and that. But Skip, at this point right now, Lamar Jackson is the MVP. Mm-hmm. You can see the maturation that he's gone through from year one to year two as far as his ability to throw the football. He's up 8 percentage points, mm-hmm, just throwing the football. Skip, the guy threw, 6 touchdowns in 7 games last year as a starter. He's at 28.
Yep.
So right now, Lamar Jackson is better than Michael Vick because I think the coaching that he has and the system that they can use and put him in, mm-hmm, can take full advantage. I don't think Michael early in his career had his ability fully taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. So I want to be very clear about this. If you made me choose right now between watching a game of Michael Vick in Atlanta, I'm talking about the Michael Vick experience, between that and watching a Lamar game now, give me the experience every Sunday, Monday, Thursday.
Okay.
Because it was spectacular.
It was unbelievable, that turf.
But my very sentiment is what helped, quote unquote, ruin Michael as a passer.
Uh-huh.
Because that was a day and time in which Dan Reeves was not going to call many runs for Michael because it just wasn't done.
Right.
You don't run a little quarterback, and he was viewed as a small man.
Right, and you tried to protect the quarterback. You're running him into harm's way.
So Michael, who can be very sensitive to what the public wants of him, he knew the customers wanted him to bolt.
Right.
Because what entertains the masses, it's winning a little bit, but they paid to watch him bolt the pocket. So what would be his nature? It would be, what, like you said, maybe one quick look and I am gone.
Oh, here you go.
Because you're not going to get that play called by your coordinator, Dan Reeves, or your play caller. You're going to have to make it on your own. And by the way, when he bolted and got free in the open, it was
so fun.
People don't realize this. Michael Vick was the first visiting quarterback to hand Green Bay a playoff loss at Lambeau. Wow.
And that was a low-scoring game.
Yes!
Cold.
Yes!
He pulled that off.
That OT, that overtime game against Minnesota, when he broke the pocket.
No.
And both of these guys are electric, Skip. But I believe right now Lamar is so far ahead of where Mike was in his second year, mm-hmm,
throwing the football.
It's not even close.
And why is that? Because Lamar has been allowed to become a dedicated passer.
Right.
He is a pass-first passer
because
he knows full well the next play might be a called power run, right?
Yep.
So he knows he's going to get to run, a dozen times. Well, Michael had to make his own runs by scrambling.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, so Lamar has dedicated himself to the art of passing. And I'm telling you, he's getting Peyton-esque, Brady-esque, mm-hmm, in reading and finding the most open target and hitting him right on the money. He's deadly at it.
Because we watch him, and you watch him like I do. You see, last year, when the play was broken down, he's looking to run. He's like, okay, I'm looking to run. Now he'll break and he'll start drifting to the side. Okay, let me find somebody. Where's Andrews? Where's Boyles?
Right.
Oh, Sneed. He's looking for guys. They're not there. Nah, I'm gone.
Okay.
Because he knows, Skip, like, I can get 10 yards, but I like what I saw Sunday, Skip, because there was an opportunity from times he might have could have got 2 or 3 yards more. He said, nah, I'm good. Stepped out of bounds.
Okay.
I'm good.
Michael Vick was also an extraordinary athlete to the point he had a huge arm.
Oh, no.
Like I'm talking about a big cannon.
Yeah.
Way bigger than Lamar has, but not an accurate cannon.
Right.
So it was wild high. It was a little off. Mm-hmm. This guy is just flicking darts, mm-hmm. or he's flicking missiles, because right. the velocity on Lamar is...
Michael Vick has skipped with that Monday night game when he was the Eagles. Lord, and it was kind of drizzling rain a little bit. And when he reared back and he threw the ball, looked like 70 yards.
I can't remember. Was it to Deshaun?
D-Jack, yeah. And, I mean, like I said, Mike was ahead of his time. I would have loved to have seen Mike in this era with somebody like a Greg Roman that understands his ability and can use it to its fullest.
Yep.
He was so fun to watch, though.
I just don't think he could run with the authority between the tackles Lamar can.
No. He's a much smaller man than Lamar.
Yeah.
Mike goes, 5'11", maybe 210. Lamar is what, 6'2", 225?
Do you think he's 220? He might be.
Probably 220 now.
Well, the neck looks like he's 230. Yeah,
he's like a linebacker with that neck.
Well, Mike is often on our show, and what I think is so refreshing is how supportive he is.
Yes.
And he's mentored him, and he wants him to break this record. He said that all along to us.
Right.
That speaks highly of him as well.
Mike said he thought the record would get broken, but just not this quick.
Yeah, he's like, I wanted it to happen, maybe not right
Michael
away.
Is so humble about
about
just giving in to the next generation.
Yeah.
Like, he's got next, and I'm blessing him.
And the thing Mike really didn't have anybody like that he could go to.
No.
These guys, now that come in and can do what Lamar is doing, they can go back and they can talk to Mike. They can talk to Cam.
Yep.
Cam was the guy. Now, Cam didn't, they call power plays. They called a lot of plays for Cam to run, and I think that kind of hurt Cam early on, too.
It did. Mm.
Well, 22 yards to go for that single season record. Thursday night,
it's
Lamar
gonna happen on that network.
Facing Darnold and the Jets, 7:30 on Fox. You know, streaming on Prime Video and NFL Network as well. I'll be tuning in for that. No mercy. Earlier this week, LeBron said he needed to focus more on, quote, mental fitness following his 2011 finals loss to the Mavericks. LeBron admitted that the level of scrutiny he was under took him out of his comfort zone, and he also lost his love for the game. So, Shannon, are you surprised by this?
A little, because the thing with an athlete is that they don't let you know about the insecurities. Skip, I think we've discussed a guy on this show several times, back in the news, although we didn't talk about him today, that we think that he needs to go talk to someone.
Mm-hmm. Antonio Brown.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And for LeBron, you're talking about an apex athlete. You're talking about a guy that's at the heap, at the top of the mountain, to say, you know, there's some things that got to me. And especially, you know what's most, that I'm most surprised about, Skip? Because for the longest time, that was said about LeBron. Tremendous talent, can do it all, but he's not mentally tough. And for him to say, you know what, that 2011 season was the culmination of that. Everything came to a head, that I wasn't playing to like I know I can play, and the pressure, and it formed the perfect storm. And I needed to go talk. I needed to go, whether he vented or however he got his situation resolved, is that athletes don't skip. We don't like to admit that we have frailties.
Mm-hmm.
That's it in a nutshell. And me not being mentally tough? What? You don't know where I came from. You don't know, I mean, you talk about a guy that came from a single parent and that really had no dominant male figure in his home that we can say, as coaches, and to get to where he got to, and basically he's learning to be a man, how to be a man as he's going through the process of himself. Not having someone that says, okay, LeBron, dad or grandpa, say, hey, LeBron, this is how you do it, and go here. He's having to do it on his own. Michael Jordan had his dad, and then he had Coach Smith. Mm-hmm. So he had a parent, and then he had a coach that he had the utmost respect for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, LeBron James, like, I'm doing kind of going this thing on my own. But kudos to him, Skip. It takes a big man. It takes a big person to admit that I'm not in a place where I need to be able to function at my highest.
Mm.
Because I'm not so sure. I'm not sure I would have told that. Some things I just go and take to my grave, whatever you say.
Mm. So he said he'd lost his love, and this is after what I always said was the worst superstar meltdown I've ever seen on a big stage, because it was games 4, 5, and 6 of the finals in 2011.
And Skip, we're talking about a guy that's already had won two regular season MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about a guy that's already at the heap, at the top.
Yep. He had had some issues at the end of his Cleveland run against, obviously, Orlando and then against Boston the last go-around. And remember, Dan Gilbert was hard on him and even accused him publicly of quitting in that series. Yeah. And there was the report that he needed to be sedated for the Boston, the couple last couple of games in the Boston series because of a locker room issue that he was going through on a personal level. So I'm happy he talked about it. And I do think he came right out of that in 2012 against the still young Thunder. But LeBron was great in that finals, especially when they went home. He was great. Uh-huh. And they just shut them down and right out and just shut it out in, what was it, five games?
Yeah, yeah, it was 4-1.
Five games. And LeBron was the MVP, but he continued to struggle. It wasn't like he was completely fixed of that because he did. I thought you said he played really well in the fourth quarter of that game six in 2013, but he had three unforced error turnovers down the last stretch, last 3 minutes of game six that Ray Allen saved him, missed the last shot. LeBron did, and then Ray made it. And remember, in 2014, I still say they went home in the finals against my Spurs 1-1. They went back to Miami, and LeBron had two home games. And go check the tape of this. He wasn't himself. He wasn't great in those two games, and they lost both at home. Then they went back to San Antonio, and they ended up losing in five games by a record finals margin.
Yeah, and nobody had ever shot like what San Antonio, because I was just certain. I said, there is no way they can continue to shoot like this. And they continued to shoot like that. I mean, Patty Mills couldn't miss. Danny Green couldn't miss. Even Kawhi was making – nobody can miss from the three. I was like, there's no way they can keep this going. But, Skip, if you remember, when they were down 3-2, going back to the Garden, and they showed the picture, he had his hands on his knees, and he's looking side to side. I said, somebody in heap of trouble. Jenny, there's a calm. There's a hush over the stadium. There's a calm. You just know what's about to happen that we'd never seen before.
That was with Dwayne. Yeah. Yep.
45. And then he went back and finished it off in game seven. And I know we rolling. We good now.
You're good. So then the other most embarrassing moment to me in LeBron's career that he did not fix was 2018 Finals Game 1 at Oracle.
Man, stop. Get out of here.
You can't do that.
Yes, you can.
You got to take the shot. You got Steph on you.
No.
And you're down one. You just got to take the shot. You can't kick it to George Hill and hope he's going to make two free throws. You just can't do it.
Well, Klay did a great thing because he kicked it to George Hill, and George Hill was about to lay the ball up. And Klay snatched him out, which I got no problem with. And like you said, you forced him to go make the. I was like, ugh.
Then LeBron went and sat by himself and.
But well, so what we go? What, so what, what, hold that. On, what we gonna talk
I'm
about?
Out.
What we gonna
Figured
do? About, what we gonna do about Swish? Swish was on them real cookies.
But LeBron is doing something right now, and refreshing to hear him talk about it. I think that's the number one thing. It is refreshing. Whether you're an athlete or not, it's important. No mercy. It's been about a month since Colin Kaepernick's NFL workout in Atlanta, and Cap hasn't drawn any contract offers from the workout, which his camp moved from the Falcons facility to a nearby high school just hours before its scheduled start time. According to reports, one of Kaepernick's biggest supporters, Jay-Z, was very involved in setting up the original workout. Jay-Z has been working closely with the NFL on its social justice initiatives since early August. And we're now joined by professor and author Michael Eric Dyson, who has recently written a book on Jay-Z. This is awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's really good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here, always.
It's always a pleasure to have you. You're one of my favorites, if not my favorite.
Thank you, sir.
So is Jay-Z.
Yes.
And obviously, we all know now that he has a role with the NFL. How much of a role did he have in prompting that quote-unquote and finally ill-fated workout that Colin had in Atlanta?
He made all the difference. I mean, we know for 3 years Colin Kaepernick has been out of work, unjustly, unfairly denied opportunity to exercise his craft and ply his wares on a gridiron for no other reason than he took a knee to protest racial oppression, black suffering, and the trauma that black people endured. That's clear. But it's also clear that the NFL had made no gestures toward reconciliation, not finding a way to do so. Jay-Z's presence made all the difference in the world, negotiating behind the scenes. This is what I tell people. You protest outside, you raise the concern, you tell people what's wrong. When they say, well, how do we change it? You got to go inside and help negotiate that. Jay-Z did just that. First, he was on a song saying, tell the NFL, we're in stadiums too. We don't need you to appear there, and he wore a Kaepernick jersey. Now, people said, is he selling out? No, he's understanding the transition between Starsky and Hutch, Batman and Robin, inside, outside, Steph Curry and LeBron on the inside. So he then goes inside to negotiate, to say, create space and opportunity for this unjustly aggrieved young man and give him that opportunity. So he was deeply and profoundly involved. Without Jay-Z, I suspect the opportunity would not exist.
Mm. And furthermore, how disappointed was Jay-Z from what you hear and how it did not turn out?
He's definitely disappointed. Disappointed because not because Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a righteous grievance. He does. Not because he wasn't the victim of collusion. He was. Not because his cause was not just, but because strategy is just as critical at some points as the substance of your argument. And I'm from an older generation, right? I'm 61 years old. And I know that younger black people sometimes think, well, it is unfair to have to do certain things. Like, when the police stop us, is it fair that young black men in particular and young black women have to behave in a different fashion than their counterparts? No, it's not fair, but it's real. So Jay-Z understands, as I do from an older generation, strategically, you got to figure out your way. You can't get a freedom scholarship from Pharaoh's school. Pharaoh ain't in the business of making free men. Pharaoh's in the business of making slaves. So you understand that from the get-go, and you have a different expectation. So you use your position to challenge the authorities in such a fashion. I think Colin Kaepernick, who is an amazingly iconic and heroic figure, also perhaps could have used some strategy sessions where you figure out, you don't have to show up in a shirt that says Kuta Kinte. Now, that's your freedom. That's your freedom to do so. But, you know, you can go on a ship that is helmed by a captain, and you can liberate that ship and say, I now am the captain, and throw the captain overboard. But you've liberated yourself into bondage if you don't know where you're going. Mm. Now, it is not that he doesn't know where he was going, but to extend the analogy, Colin Kaepernick might have said, let me try a Disney shirt. Let me go in with, hey, boys and girls, I'm Americana, and get in there like Samson, since we both, all of us, read the Bible, and then destroy the pillars from within.
Yep.
Figure out a way to penetrate to the heart of the matter and then leverage the authority you have and do what you have to do. So it doesn't have to be either or, but both and. I just think the strategy might have been beefed up a bit in consultation with others.
You just echoed what I said when Skip and I have been talking about this since this has transpired. Mm-hmm. And then it seems like he was so combative. Yeah. NFL, you've been running. NFL, you've been hiding. At that point in time, you want to come off as a sympathetic figure, not as a combative figure, as a militant figure. And I agree with you, the shirt.
Right.
Why? Look, if I'm going for a job interview, I can dress any kind of way I want to.
Right.
But the likelihood of me dressing a certain type of a way, they're looking at that.
It is. And it's unfair. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers shows up with that, that's fine. And so you're not Aaron Rodgers at this point. You're not Tom Brady at this point. So the reality is you're on the outside trying to get in. You've been unjustly put out. Let's understand. We understand
no
it's difficult.
About it.
But at the same time, you know what the deal is. Don't expect a certain kind of outcome that you know is already not forthcoming. You use everything to your advantage to give them no excuse. There is nothing you can say to me. I'm not going to antagonize them. It is, after all, a job tryout.
Right. Yeah.
And at that level, you got to understand, whether fair or not, those are the rules. And that's what I tell my son. You show up under the conditions that are demanded by the people from whom you seek employment. Mm-hmm. And then when you get in there, you can change the rules from within and you can alter the situation. But in the meantime, you got to play the game that's before. You got to deal with what the defense gives you.
Right.
Okay. Was it possible that by that point, Colin was so discouraged about the battle over what the conditions would be, over the agreement he was going to have to sign, that he protested by wearing the T-shirt?
Of course, I can understand that, but it's self-sabotage at that level, right? Mm-hmm. The thing is that, look, he's a young man, 29 years old. Let me even be more frank. I was at an event with Tyler Perry out in Atlanta where he opened his studios. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And Kaepernick comes up to me and says, you know, I need to straighten you out. I said, fine. You know, a lot of people around me, oh, my God, you're Michael Eric Dyson. I said, I ain't got no ego. I understand what this is. I said, sir, but this is the thing, Mr. Kaepernick. You have my number. You use my number to get me to retweet your post, but when I'm asking you for substance and engagement and conversation, ain't forthcoming. Mm-hmm. Now, I said, people pay me a lot of money to talk. I'm doing it for free because I love you and love your cause. So it has to be both and. It has to be some give and take. And I think there, substantively again, if he's willing and able to get other people, bigger brains, brighter minds, who are equally invested in his heroic achievements and want to extend it, strategy is critical. Martin Luther King Jr. got beat in 1961 in Albany, Georgia. He went there, and that old wily sheriff said, you know, two things. First of all, I ain't gonna be violent. I ain't gonna do that. I'm not gonna be beating you over the head. And secondly, I'm going to separate you. I'm not gonna put a bunch of black people in one jail. I've spread them across the counties. So you won't have these singings at night and these camp meetings and people see you. King learned from that in 1963, Birmingham, Alabama. Strategy. Let me see. If America is eating its dinner and it sees that black people are being washed against the wall and bicuspids and incisors of police dogs are ripping into the flesh of women and children, that will dramatically and theatrically communicate a message that I've been trying to preach for a long time. And so in Birmingham, when that occurred, the change was set in play, and in 1964, the Civil Rights Act came about, 65, the Voting Rights Act, because of Selma, and that is a result of strategy. It doesn't mean that you're a sellout. It means that you understand the enemy you're dealing with, the opponent that you're dealing with. And let me be even more honest. I was riding the NFL, getting into them hard, because I believe in fairness, and I've been riding with Colin from the beginning, and I still do. But then when I saw the contracts, it's not what necessarily was presented to be, right? You know, Colin was very concerned about the NFL, rightfully so, manipulating the footage so that it could show that he was like messing up. So they said, we're gonna put your director right next to ours. Then they offered to give him the raw footage. At that level, you just gotta step up into the to the arena and represent. And I love him. And I want to have that kind of conversation with him, not with you on air. But it's difficult. And let me say finally this. Jumping on Malcolm Jenkins? Eric Reed, whom I love and adore too. Even if he calls me a sellout, I don't care. I love those guys. But calling Malcolm Jenkins a sellout because he decided to take the $89 million that the NFL gave, hold it. Listen to what you're saying. The NFL owners, who we know as a bunch are rascals, who we know as a bunch have been insensitive to the call and predicament of black people, right? But they then made a shift and said, we're going to give you $89 million to give toward black organizations and other organizations that you point out that are significant. Malcolm Jenkins is equally heroic because he's dealing with what? Stand your ground laws. They're talking about charging young men as young ladies as adults who are children. They're working on the mechanics. So in other words, Colin Kaepernick kneels to highlight situations that are unjust. Malcolm Jenkins is taking the baton to change sports and then running further with it to show what we can do. To call him a sellout because he has a different way, you got a Malcolm and Martin the game. You got a Starsky and Hutch the game.
But that's what you get. It's almost like if you don't agree with every step that Kaepernick takes, you're a sellout, you're a coon.
That's crazy.
I mean, it is so ridiculous. And like Jay-Z, they call Jay-Z a sellout because Jay-Z said, we're beyond kneeling now.
Right.
Oh, you a sellout.
Right.
Oh, okay, we're kneeling. Okay. Okay, we were kneeling to get the attention.
Right.
Okay, now that we have their attention, okay, now, what's the next step?
That's what he was saying. You know, people took that wrongly, I think, when they said, he said, oh, we're beyond, because if you look at the tape of the same conference that he had, right, the meeting there, he says, of course protest. Of course continue to do what you do. But his point was, kneeling is the first step. When you got kindling to start a fire, it's just the first step on the kindling. Kneeling is the kindling. Now you got to get to burning the big wood. Come on.
Put the logs on there.
You got to put the logs on the fire, as Grace Jones would say.
So was that the unfortunate end of Colin Kaepernick as we knew and loved him as a football player?
You know, unfortunately and tragically, it may be. And leaders often make sacrifices, right? I don't want to, you know, exaggerate the nature of the sacrifice, but it is his career. You know, people kept saying, why don't he just go do something else? Because that's what he loves to do, right? I love to speak. I love to write. I love to think. You guys love and this wonderful woman love to engage in serious and critical analysis of sports. That's what you love to do. That's what you're born to do. And Colin feels that, and I understand that. But unfortunately and tragically, because of circumstances, it may be that this stage of his career is over. But look, Dick Gregory was a great comedian. But at some level, Dick Gregory said, I got to stop telling jokes because I have to get on the front line. Colin Kaepernick has been forced, perhaps coerced, into this position. But Martin Luther King Jr. said, the battering rams of historical necessity have thrust me into that, quoting the great theologian Reinhold Niebuhr. So now Colin Kaepernick is in a position, and let's be even more blunt. The thing is that he was 1-11, 1-10 in his last 11 starts. So he's still better than a lot of quarterbacks out there playing right now. He could definitely play. But we know that given his talent level, extraordinary, but in terms of in his skills, but in terms of the outcomes from his games, right, he was in the middle of the pack. But now, as a heroic figure, now as an icon, he reigns supreme for a lot longer than you can play quarterback in the NFL. I know Tom Brady, Mr. Magic, is doing it at 42. And then, look, I don't agree with the politics. I don't agree with the sign. I don't agree with the implications of this Trumpian reality and ideology that prevails. But as a man on the field, Tom Brady is my man because 42 years old. I like old men who do great things and show young people that y'all ain't the only ones doing it.
But, Doug, this is where you and I part ways.
Right.
Unfortunately, his career ended when he took that knee. Not when he failed this failed comeback attempt.
Could make that.
Well, but you know what? It might have ended then, and it's tragic that it ended then, and America needs to be held to account then, and because he wanted to identify with, look at this. There are many football players on their cleats. Many of their causes, breast cancer, people, you know, young people who are in jail or young people who are in the hospital. So we don't have the same empathy for young black people who are being murdered. We thank God for Colin Kaepernick for taking a knee and standing up for that. At the same time, the NFL's inability to acknowledge that legitimate claim back then. But then when they made the shift, when they were willing to compromise, when Jay-Z got inside, it's compromise on both sides. In Birmingham, Martin Luther King Jr. didn't get, quote, everything he or the other leaders wanted. You got, you know, Robert F. Kennedy came in and said, let me negotiate between the owners of the stores that are being protested and the side of the civil rights. So there is compromise on both sides. And unfortunately, I think at this level, it's pretty tough. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.